Welcome back to GoldSeek.com Radio. Today's featured guest, Princeton economist, Dr. Burton Malkiel. Dr. Burton Malkiel, professor and senior economist at Princeton University, penned A Random Walk Down Wall Street and the 11th edition. Welcome back, professor.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Well, you've been on the show now for nearly a decade. Last year, you noted that the CAPE ratio, price to earnings, were just a bit extended. And, well, we're starting to see signs of that. Would you mind sharing your outlook for 2016?
Sure. I think that the U.S. market is certainly still quite expensive. This CAPE ratio is the price-earnings ratio where you try to normalize earnings by looking at average earnings over a long period of time rather than just the last year's earnings. But whether you do it with this so-called CAPE ratio, cyclically adjusted price earnings ratio, which is what CAPE stands for, or you just take the price earnings ratio based on the past 12 months, the U.S. market is not cheap. The question then for investors is, what do you do when everything is expensive? And I guess my advice would be that it just makes diversification even more important. While the CAPE ratio is something like 25 for the U.S., other parts of the world are less expensive and less extended than the U.S. market. And I would say that if you look at your portfolio and you've nothing outside the United States, so I'm not saying that the U.S. market is necessarily going to go down in 2016. I think the economy looks in pretty darn good shape. So, I'm not predicting any catastrophe in the market, but we are very richly valued. Other markets are more moderately valued, and the U.S. Is only something like a half or less of the world economy, and my advice to investors is to think globally, and if you're completely undiversified in terms of foreign stocks, think of adding them.
As you pointed out, things are a bit extended, but, you know, then there's also Europe and Asia where rates are being held much lower. Fed governors, policymakers look like they're going to raise rates in probably another 100 basis points at least in the next year or so. At least that's what they're calling for in their Fed minutes, and we're seeing signs of that at the Fed funds futures rates. And some of that could be felt in the long bond, the treasuries. Or do you feel that diversification will just take care of that for us?
Well, I do agree with you that we're in the United States likely to be in an era of rising rates. Unlike the people who say, this is terrible, that means we don't want to be in any paper assets, I think that the rise in rates is going to be quite moderate. And I say that because, as you pointed out, rates are much lower in other parts of the world than they are in the United States. And inflation is essentially non-existent. We're in a world which has a lot of excess manufacturing, particularly in emerging markets. China has an enormous amount of excess manufacturing capacity, and the same is true in many other emerging market countries. This, I think, is going to keep a lid on inflation, and I think is going to keep a lid on rates. Rates may rise, but I don't expect them to rise very much and very rapidly. We've already seen the Federal Reserve has done the first increase in the short-term rate, lo and behold, the long-term rate is even lower than it was when the Federal Reserve nudged interest rates, short-term interest rates up. So, yes, I think there'll be a modest increase in interest rates, but I think it will be very modest and will not mean that we should simply get rid of all of our paper assets.
Nothing succeeds like success. 1.5 million plus copies sold of A Random Walk. You know, I try to tell folks who are outside of the field, I think it's difficult for biologists, chemists, people who work in fields where scientific tests are more, you might say, rigorous. The outcomes are more predictable. They can be easily replicated. Markets, however, and the economy, for the most part, are based on human emotions, greed and fear.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what you, that's precisely what you can't predict. And there are waves of over-optimism and sometimes waves of too much pessimism. And it's very, very difficult to predict what people are going to do. And so you will never, never have the kind of precision in predicting markets that the physicist will have in predicting what particles are going to do. And that's simply a fact. We've got to accept that there's going to be a great deal of unpredictability in terms of markets. And that's what the idea of a random walk is, simply that the next move is not predictable by me, by you, or by any expert. So be very cautious of the people who will tell you, well, I know for certain what the markets are going to do.
I think it's well said. And, you know, look at even Einstein, the founder of modern physics, couldn't wrap his mind around this idea of uncertainty at the quantum level, as you alluded to. Whereas Dirac and Schrodinger and so many others just said, look, we have to accept this. We have to embrace it. Led to this, you know, the great silicon and computer and information age, just embracing it instead of fighting it. So I think that's what investors really need to do with the random walk. They have to accept we can't outsmart the markets. And there are a few people who can, but they're going to have trouble over time, and the rare nugget like Warren Buffett, and he probably can't teach us what led to his success.
And now that he has a huge set of assets in Berkshire Hathaway, even recently, Berkshire Hathaway has not been outperforming the market. So, and interestingly enough, Buffett is the one who says now and actually put it in his will that he wants his heirs to just buy a simple index fund, which of course is what I've been arguing for a long time. You can now buy a fund that buys and holds all the stock in the market and charges as little as 1/20 of 1%. And that's, to me, still the very best investment advice. And period after period, that doesn't give you mediocre returns because you're paying way below average fees.
ETFs actually under fire right now by the SEC and other agencies that some of these fees and can be really exorbitant.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm not telling you that every ETF is a good investment. I'm talking about the broadest ETFs that are the entire market. One that I favor trades under the ticker symbol VTI, and its expense ratio is 5 basis points, which is 1/20 of 1%. But not all ETFs, just the very broad ones with the lowest expenses.
You can outperform the top investors, the top money managers, the hedge fund managers. Paulson shorted housing market through Goldman, did a fantastic job, made over $1 billion. He's had a very challenging time, which really makes one wonder whether or not it was his models or whether or not he just happened to be.
It was luck. And basically, the hedge funds over the last few years have been underperforming general market. They have not produced as high rates of return as the general market. Again, as Warren Buffett says, the wise investor will just buy very broad-based index funds. And my advice is to do so not only for the U.S. market, for international markets as well.
Well, as we pick up a copy of the latest 11th edition, A Random Walk, today on Amazon.com as well as Barnes & Noble, local bookstores, give our listening audience an idea of some of the wisdom and what they should look forward to in the latest version.
Well, in the latest version, make very clear that very broad diversification is what is needed. And I will put down kinds of exchange traded funds that will fill the bill. As you pointed out, not all exchange traded funds are necessarily good investments. But what I try to point out is how using the same low cost index philosophy, you can get international stocks, you can get exposure to commercial real estate, you can get exposure to bonds, and I think you do some bonds in the portfolio. I also point out, and I think this is actually very important in this low interest rate environment, what an investor is going to be able to do to get income. We know that bank accounts give you no interest. We know that money funds give you no interest today. And so one of the investment suggestions in the 11th edition is you look very carefully at high dividend paying stocks as an income vehicle, and particularly the high dividend paying stocks that have shown an ability to grow their dividends over time. So one of the other things that I think is a particularly apt suggestion at the present time is to look carefully at those ETFs that will give you a healthy dividend yield, and a dividend yield that's likely to grow over time. Because I think this is particularly important, especially for retired people who are having a lot of trouble trying to find dividend and on which to live on. So there are specific suggestions on that kind of strategy, as well as what kinds of bond funds will at least provide some stable income over time.
Please have a wonderful new year.
Thank you very much, and all the best to you and your listeners.
Here is your mining quiz for the day, compliments of GoldSeek. Which company has the largest undeveloped gold reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold. Now, which company has the largest undeveloped copper reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold again. Seabridge has more gold reserves than Kinross, Yamana, and Agnico Eagle. Last year alone, Seabridge added 515 million tons of new inferred resources containing nearly 6 million ounces of gold and more than 6 billion pounds of copper at their giant KSM project in British Columbia, Canada. Now they are drilling at KSM again with multiple rigs in a 25,000-meter program. Find out more by visiting www.seabridgegold.net. Traded on the NYSE, symbol SA, and the TSX, symbol SEA.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.